You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Hallelujah. Turn with me, if you will, to Ecclesiastes. This is kind of funny because we just did a class and we talked a lot about Ecclesiastes. Some things in Ecclesiastes you ought to follow and it's good stuff. Some things you need to shun and not follow because it's not good stuff. Ecclesiastes is a book of a man who's backslidden and he's venting, as it were, kind of like you and I do sometimes. Got real quiet in this church when I said that. I doesn't pay to serve God, it doesn't work, you know, and of course Solomon did that. He said things like that in Ecclesiastes. But then he would have his moments, just like we do sometimes. Thank God we do have those moments where we actually trust God and believe God and say some good things. And so I'm going to actually use as a text here something that he said when he was in a good mood. Does that make sense? Anybody ever read Ecclesiastes? Okay, all right. Well, that went over real big. No, if you read through there, he just says some things. He's just whining, he's murmuring. Kind of like Jennifer said, they thought she had a murmur. A lot of us have murmurs. You know, the quicker y'all respond and laugh at my jokes and everything, the faster this thing is going to go. Herb just prophesied we'd be going to 1, 2 o'clock, so, you know, don't. This could be the day, you know. Now I want to talk about the power of we as opposed to me. Okay? I want to talk about how powerful we is. That's not correct grammar, but it's a great state. How powerful is we? Boy, I am just ripping up the English language this morning. You know, we think it's all about me. And really, you know, Ecclesiastes is kind of like that. Really, Solomon is, it's me, 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 me. I did this and I did that and I did this and yeah. Oh, come on, we. Ah. Did you agree? I'm going to say y'all. We. We is us. It's what we can do. This is an attitude and a concept we need to get a hold of. It's not about me. It's about we. It's not about, you know, it's what we can do. Yeah. Yeah. I think of just the testimony we just heard. Goodness gracious, Herb and Jan did what they do because they have partners. They have people supporting them. They have people praying for them. There are people praying that don't even go with them. And their prayers and their faith are along with them. And their financial support is along with them while they're out there. I look at all these flags that we have, missionary flags, and country flags that represent missionaries and missionary organizations and around the world that we support. And we're making a difference from Wills Point, Texas. Something you could never have done, but something that we are doing. Yeah. Woo! Yeah. Man, what a concept. Amen? To get a hold of the power of us, the power of we, instead of the power of me. You know, don't be a lone ranger. You know, nobody knows a lone ranger. Who is that masked man? Well, that's the Lone Ranger. Hi-yo, Silver, away! We didn't know the guy's name. He's a Lone Ranger. Are you with me? He has no relationships except Tonto. Kimosabe. Hey, Kimosabe, we go help. Kimosabe, we go. You know, he'd be nothing without Tonto. Isn't that true? How many times have Tonto got the Lone Ranger out of all these messes he gets into? And the Lone Ranger goes and does some good things, and then he rides out of town. Hi-oh, Silver, away. It's almost like, you know, if you're going to be a Lone Ranger, your Silver is going to go away. I mean, it's just going to lose everything. Got no relationships, doesn't know anybody. Hello. You know, he was a Texas Ranger. That was the basis of the story. The Texas Rangers did a lot of good. They unified. They got together. They did a tremendous amount of good in this state of Texas. Are you with me? But they weren't Lone Rangers. I know they had a motto, one right, one ranger. But, you know, hey, that's Chuck Norris, okay? That's just a show. Anyway, no, that is a saying that they have. But God has not called us to be alone. And I'm not talking about just marriage. That is, does apply to marriage, but it also applies to serving God. I think sometimes we get the idea that I can serve God without church. Well, no, you can serve God in a limited way without church, but you can't serve Him the way He wants you to serve Him without church. Because we're called to get together. We're called to join up together. There's just certain things you can do that I can't. There's certain things I can do you can't. And we need to get hooked up. Yeah. You know, the leg bone needs to get hooked up to the knee bone. The knee bone gets the thigh bone. And you know the song. You got to get everything hooked up. Get the parts working together. We can accomplish more together than we can apart. In fact, if three people just did a bunch of things individually, it would not amount to the same thing of those three people coming together and doing something. It wouldn't just be the same amount. It would be two and three and four times more than what the three individually could do. See, it's exponential. Well, two people can do twice as much as one. No, actually, two people can do a whole lot more than twice as much as one. And three people can do a whole lot more than three times as much as one. Just make sure I got math right here. Okay. And so a church of people, my goodness, you know, we're reaching the world. And it's not a one of us could do it, but all of us are doing it. That's what's so neat. And if you really want to accelerate in your service to God, if you want to accelerate in your relationship with God, if you want to move on up, hallelujah, in serving God and being used by God, then you need to hook up with people. If your vision is just something you could fulfill by yourself, then your vision is not from God. Because the vision God placed upon us is greater than ourselves. Hallelujah. Everybody ready? Amen. Ecclesiastes 4 chapter, if you will turn there with me. Ecclesiastes 4, we're talking about the power of we as opposed to me. In fact, there's a danger in just me. There's protection in we. There's growth in we. You know, there's certain trees that don't even, if you don't plant another tree to cross pollinate, they won't even bear fruit. Isn't that right? So they're no good by themselves. They'll never produce what they were made to produce. They never bear the fruit they were made to bear. So when we get together, we don't compete with each other. We complete each other. See, you complete me. And I complete you. We're not in competition. Thank God for churches. You know, I think about churches that we have in our community. Thank God for the churches that we have in our community. You think we're competing with churches? Are you kidding? We're running our race. We thank God for the churches in our community and the race they're running. We're all in the kingdom of God, and we're trying to reach people for the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. People are getting saved and getting put back together, and their lives are getting fixed up at First Baptist, United Methodist, and Calvary Baptist, and First Assembly, and Church of Christ. I can just go right down the list of churches. Thank God for churches. Do I agree with everything? Of course not. I don't even agree with myself all the time. But we all preach the gospel. And all of us together are making a difference in this town. We can't do in this town by ourselves what we're all doing, all these churches together are doing. We're not reaching everybody in this town. How do you know that? But there's a big family. And I include myself in that, whether they accept me or not. They do. You can pick your friends. You stuck with your relatives. And we're related by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Okay. I thank God for what they're doing. I thank God the people they're reaching. I thank God the message they're preaching. I thank God the good that they're doing in that respect. Y'all found Ecclesiastes 4. Ecclesiastes 4, verse 8. There is one alone without companion. Uh-oh. Watch it. Watch isolating yourself. Watch thinking you're the only one in this thing. Watch thinking it's all about you. You need to see the big picture. There's more than just you. I don't live my life for myself. I can't live my life for myself. I'm a pastor, a father and a grandfather, and a husband. All of which requires me to sacrifice and give up things. Hello? And that's a good thing. Amen? That's a real good thing. I'm a Christian. That requires something of me. That requires I act a certain way, I talk a certain way, I walk a certain way. But you know what? I draw such strength from being a Christian because of other Christians. Amen? Woe be unto those that walk alone. There is one alone. Don't be a lone ranger. Without companion, he is neither son nor brother, yet there is no end to all his labor. It's still a lot of work. Nor is his eye satisfied with riches, but he never asks, for what do I toil and deprive myself of good? This also is vanity and a grave misfortune. You know, if you just isolate yourself and go all by yourself, you're still going to have to work. You're still going to have to get up in the morning. You're still going to have to eat. You're still going to have to take the trash out. Your house will smell just like anybody's house if you don't take it out. Hello. And yet you'll have no reward for your labor. The greatest reward in life is helping others. There's nothing more rewarding than blessing somebody else, lifting somebody else, helping someone else, reaching out to somebody else. You see, and actually you become very vulnerable. You become a target for the enemy when you isolate yourself. This is the way predators and hunters and animals that are, you know, like lions, they'll separate the herd. They get the weak one off to the side. They isolate a person, and so they are vulnerable because they're not in the herd. They're not protected. And then the devil just has a heyday with them. I mean, he's just having a big time over there with the person that's isolated, that has nobody with them. They're not serving. They're not helping. They're not praying. Amen. Nobody else is praying, serving, helping. So the ninth verse says this. Two are better than one. Now, of course, this applies in marriage, but I'm not just singling that out. I'm talking about us as Christians, as believers. I know a lot of people don't believe it's really necessary to go to church, you know, and I love God, I'm a Christian. But the problem with that is that Jesus is the one that is to the church. And if we love God, we need to go to church. Not so the church could be great. Oh, that'll happen because the more come, the better the church will be, obviously. But we should do it simply because God said to do it. Amen. He said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner some is, even more so as you see the day approaching. He also tells us plainly in 1 Corinthians 12 that you and I individually are not the church. Boy, this goes over real big. And you and I individually are not the body. You know, I'm not the church and I'm not the body. I am a member in particular. And some people think I'm a very particular member. Boy, the more y'all join me in this thing, the quicker this thing's going to go, I'm telling you. Y'all stretching this sermon out, it's going to be a long time. Okay. But you might say, well, I'm the church. No, you're not the church. We are the church. You say, well, I'm the body of Christ. Well, no, we are the body of Christ. Hello. Members in particular. I have certain gifts. I don't have all of them. You have certain gifts. You don't have all of them. Are you with me? Man, we get together, you add to me and I add to you. But don't get that maverick Lone Ranger attitude when it comes to serving God. Man, you need the church. You need the church to grow with. You need the church to complete you. You need the church so you can complete others and help others. Amen. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. Actually, they have more than twice as much. The New International Version says that. Anybody have a New International Version? It says they have more than twice as much. Man, I like that. You ever done any carpenter work and you don't have a helper? Yeah. Now look, you say, well, if I had a helper, this would go twice as fast. No, it wouldn't. It'd go about four or five times as fast. You just jump off that roof every time you need a board or a shingle or something, you know, and go back up and put another one up and jump back down and get another one and put it back up. It's more than twice as fast with a helper, okay? And sometimes, spiritually speaking, in our walk with God, we need some help. We need people praying with us. We need people believing with us, amen? People standing with us, locking arms, shoulder to shoulder, hallelujah. And then going out and accomplishing what God wants us to accomplish with the help of each other, adding our gifts to their gifts and their gifts to our gifts, covering their weaknesses and them covering our weaknesses, and us pooling our resources and making it happen. Hallelujah. That's what God called us to do. Amen? To make a difference together, to make a difference. Man, you know, what is the first inclination when you get in sin? Hide. What's the first inclination? What's the first thing you do when you sense depression coming? The devil puts depression on your draw away. Hello? Why? Because he's trying to cut you out of the herd. He's trying to isolate you. Because he knows if he can get you away from the herd, he's got you. If he can isolate you, he's got you. He's got a strategy. Come on, and you know it. I'm not saying this about someone else. We all relate to this. I have that inclination, to not answer the phone, to hide in the closet, to not go to church, or not call, whatever the case may be. You know what I'm talking about. Just draw away. And you know what happens? It gets worse. Thank God in His mercy we finally wake up one day and, hey, this ain't working. Hello. Well, it's not working because, you know, you're not all that great. You just weren't as great as you thought you were. I don't need anybody. Yes, you do. I'm sorry, but you need me. Hey, I need you. Amen. I need your prayers. I sent your prayers. I sent you believing for me and praying for me many times. I'm at my end of my rope, and I'm just human like anybody else. Many times I'm overwhelmed with situations. Many times I want to just crawl in a hole. Many times I want to throw the towel and give up. You said, you, Pastor? You? Yes, me. Sometimes I feel like a shell of a man. Sometimes I feel like if one more crisis hits, I'm just going to come to pieces. I mean, I've sensed that. I've experienced that. We're human. We're in this thing together. Are you with me? But the good news is that when I'm down, somebody else out there is up. And when you're down, somebody else is up. And if you'll get together and if you're hooked up and you've got a family and you've got a church and you're involved, praise God, you got some strength. Amen? Even the Lone Ranger had Tonto. Think about it. Where would Mickey be without Minnie? Okay. So, he goes on and says this. Ninth verse. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor, actually more than twice as much, New International Version. For if they fall, listen to this, if they fall, one will lift up his companion. Praise God. But woe to him who is alone when he falls. If you're working out, we'd say you need a spot. That means when you're benching, you're on the bench and you're lifting weight, you're not sure you can get up, so you have a guy stand behind you in case it doesn't make it all the way up, he can grab it and help you up. Hello. And a lot of times when I'm working out, I'll ask someone to spot. Hey, I need y'all, because I'm going to put some more weight on there that I'm not sure, I just don't know. But I know if they're there, I'll make it. I'll be okay. Because if it just starts coming back down because of gravity, going the wrong way, they can help me put it back on the rack so that I'm not spending the night with it on my chest. And a lot of you out there, me too, I've done it before, spend a lot of nights with all that weight on our chest. Because we wouldn't let anybody spot us. In fact, we didn't want to be spotted. We didn't even want to be seen. Hallelujah. Am I helping you? Okay. So, don't hide. No, run to help. Don't run away from it. Woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. 11th verse says again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. Man, I mean, that's body heat. You know, that's an amazing thing. Go figure that one out. I mean, you have body heat. Your wife has body heat, or vice versa, wife, husband, whatever. But a lot of times we're asleep, sleeping. I wake up because, man, it's just so hot. And Brent and I have to be touching, so I got to put my foot over and touch her foot or something. But I got to go, just too hot, Don't read anything into that, okay? I'm just saying. But, I mean, why is that? I mean, I've got body temperature, she's got body temperature, but it's amazing when the two get together how it increases. That's the point I'm making here. The body heat increases. Wow. Isn't that something? So your strength increases when you get with someone. Your strength increases. Deuteronomy 32:30. It's talking about how God raised up Israel to defeat the enemy, and he says, one will chase 1,000, two will put 10,000 to flight. Well, now, wouldn't you think if one chased 1,000, two will put 2,000? But no, it jumps. It jumps from one chasing 1,000 to two chasing 10,000. Wow. Man, if you even cared about succeeding, even in a selfish manner, in a greedy manner, in a lustful manner, which would be the wrong motive, but if you even cared that much, you'd want to get hooked up with people because it's going to take you further. Now, I don't advocate doing it for the wrong reason. I'm not saying that. But I'm just saying that God has designed us in such a way that we're uniquely gifted, but we are deficient by design. Nobody has it all. And nobody is the last word on a thing. We need each other. That's what church is all about. Church unifies people. It puts us all together. It's like an orchestra. We get all the parts together, the horns and the drums and the guitars, and put it all together. It doesn't sound too good just by itself, but, man, you put it all together and it starts really sounding great, man. It has an awesome sound that you can't even duplicate it unless you have all those same parts again. I mean, can you imagine coming back from an orchestra or a symphony and you come back and you're going to tell everybody what it was like and you get your guitar out and it sounded like this. Well, you know, it was a little more than that. But see, there's no way you can even duplicate it because you're just a guitar. You can't produce that kind of sound because you don't have all the pieces. So you and I will never produce the sound God wants us to produce, do what God wants us to do, accomplish what God wants us to accomplish, become what God wants us to become without each other. You know, you might say, well, all I need is God. Not how shocked you when I said that. You know, God said it's not good for man to be alone. Wait a minute, he wasn't alone. God was right there with him the whole time. That was in Genesis, the second chapter. What, 18th verse? Come on, concordance. I think it's 18th verse, isn't it? I think it's Genesis 2:18 where he says it's not good for man to be alone. But God was with him all that time. God was walking with him. God was fellowshipping with him. All I need is Jesus. Yes. Amen. Well, no, that's not what the Bible says. Now, to be saved, yes, I understand that. There's no other way to be saved except through Jesus Christ. I understand that. I understand we're saved by grace. No question. But the idea that God called you to be alone, I'm not talking just about marriage. Now, he did finally, of course, make Eve and they were married. But let's just think about it. It is not good for man to be alone. Woo! Hallelujah! Ooh, man! Ooh, glory! Man, this sermon is awesome. Ooh, man. Preach it. Ooh. Oh, say it again. Say it. Don't hang up now. I'm just, you know, providing your part. I need your part, okay, in this. Help me with this sermon. Don't leave me up here by myself preaching this message, okay? That would definitely be contradictory. Okay, so he says, again, if two lie down together, they'll keep warm, but how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another. You ever been sucker punched? You ever had the devil rip you up, knock you down? I know we have power over them. I understand that. I'm not naive, and I'm not going to stand up here and lie to you that every single day of my life I've always whooped the devil, as we say in East Texas. Actually, he's already defeated. He's been defeated by Jesus. I need to stand in my victory. I hadn't always done that. Sometimes I've lost. Wasn't God's fault, wasn't the Word's fault. Amen. Somewhere down the line, I let down the guard, or I wasn't looking, or I wasn't paying attention, or I wasn't asking anybody to help me. Yeah. You may be in a situation that seemingly overpowers you, but you know, here's something good about hooking up with people. You know, one may be overpowered. That could happen. Though one may be overpowered, 12th verse, by another, two can withstand him. Two of you get together and you can get the victory. I think of, you know, Matthew 18:19, which says, if any two agree as touching anything, they ask my Father in heaven, I'll do it. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. That's the power of agreement. That's the power of hooking up together, you know. Actually, what Jesus was saying, and we often quote that verse concerning just having church. You know, if two get together, two or three get together, Jesus is right there. Well, first of all, Jesus is in us all the time. He's not jumping in and out of us like a yo-yo. He said, I'm with you low unto the ends of the earth. I'm with you always, you know, even unto the ends of the earth. Low, I'm with you always. That's why some people don't ride planes, because I think Jesus was just with you low. But you got to be fast. But anyway, what he was saying there, he says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. What he was saying there is when two or three are agreeing together about something, I am there to make it happen. That's what he was talking about. That was the context of it. Of course he's in our midst. Well, we've got two or three here. Jesus is here. Man, are you kidding? Jesus is me or where I go? Are you with me? If you're a Christian, you're born again. What he was talking about was the power of agreement. The power of people agreeing together. If any two of you agree is touching anything, they ask of my Father in heaven, I'll do it. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I. You're gathered to agree in Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah.
That's right. Amen.
Man, this is just an awesome message. Everybody say it. We need each other.
We need each other.
Okay, don't be a lone ranger, see? Don't isolate yourself. Don't be cut out of the herd here. In your service to God, in your life, we need each other. Man, I tell you what, Brenda completes me, that's for sure. She is a stabilizing force in my life. I would fly to the end. I am like a high-strung horse. But Brenda, just calm. Hello.
Amen.
I love her. I've been faithful to Brenda. You know, I've said this many times. What you don't know about Brenda is in her calmness, there is strength. A lot of strength in Brenda. I've been faithful because I fear God and I fear Brenda. No, I love her. That's why I've been faithful. I love her. But she is such a balance for me. I mean, I cannot tell you the time she's kept me straight, kept me on track. I'd get cynical or whatever, you know, or get off, and she would just, I'd get negative and she won't let me get negative. She'll say things like, sounds like you need to listen to one of your messages. Or I'll say something wrong. She said, would you like for me to agree with you in Jesus' name that that would happen? Are you... And she said, I got a great verse for you. You know. You know, when you're upset, the last thing you want to know is what God has to say about it. No, come on, really. And you don't want to talk to anybody that's going to tell you that.
Yeah.
In fact, you got your list out, and you're just going to go talk to those people that agree with you, because we don't want counsel. We just want approbation is a big word. We want people to approve of us. So there are certain people you know, they're going to pray, they're going to believe God, they're going to tell you to do that. No, not going there. No. The only problem is, when you're married, you don't have that option. You know, she's right there telling me what the Bible says, you know. Thank God. Hallelujah. This is terrible, but she makes me live this stuff, okay? People often tell me how great my kids turned out and everything. You did such a good job. I didn't do anything. Are you kidding? She did. It was her. I just said, yes, ma'am. Those two words. Made for a wonderful marriage. Hallelujah. No, we talk the word and bleed together all the time and correct each other. But she's usually the one that's right. But that's another story altogether. So it says here, 12th verse. Now, y'all settled, okay? I got three women on the front row right here, okay? And this is dangerous. Okay. You know, three people can get together on the wrong cause, too. You know, it's kind of like you ever seen a pack of wild dogs? They get together and do crazy things. But anyway, I've always, you know, I've had four mamas in my family, Brenda and my three daughters, you know. And it's not getting any better. But anyway. 12th verse, read again. Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. I'll tell you what, I owe so much to you. I owe so much to you in my life. My stability, my confidence. I have battles and I have good days and bad days in the natural, stay with me. I always had the victory in Christ Jesus. I don't always go after it like I should. But I know I am where I am today because of you. I know that. I know that you are such a great part of my life and such a vital part of my life that you've made me in a lot of ways what I am today. You know, I don't think there's anything more evident as far as the church is concerned in maturity than, say, our class, our adult class. I love our class because in our class we talk. We discuss things. We make comments. We ask questions. And that's been going on for 27 years. For 27 years, we have honed out, we have hashed out, we have chiseled out doctrines, we have gotten mature, we've gotten to agreement, we've grown together, and we're still growing. But we're products of each other. I say this often at a funeral, you know, that whoever this person may be that has gone on to be with the Lord, hopefully a Christian, gone on to be with the Lord, that they have touched all of our lives and we are better people for it. I'm a better person for the people that I've met. I'm a better person for the Christians and believers that I'm hooked up with. I am a better person. Ooh, man. I'm stronger than I would have been by myself. If I got cut out of the herd, I would have been in trouble. I've been blessed by the fellowship. That's why God talks so much about fellowship. That's why He talks about so much about walking together and working together, and why He instituted the church. He said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. That's how powerful the church is. The devil can't stop it. He can't hold us back. We're going to bust the gates of hell down and set the captives free. He's got His strongholds around here, but the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. He didn't say an individual. He talked about the church, us together, make this happen. We live in a society where we talk a lot about me, you know. But it's teamwork that makes the dream work. And you can't get, there is no I in team. I heard said one time, you can make me out of it, but you got to mix the letters up. Okay. Hey. Psalms 133, and I'll close this out. Is this helping you?
Amen.
Man. Hey, where would Moses be without Aaron? Think about Aaron. Aaron was his spokesman. We talk about Moses, but Aaron was the one that went in and talked to Pharaoh while Moses just stood in the background. He would tell Aaron what to say, and Aaron would say it. Psalms 133. Thank God you're here today. Don't you take this as condemnation. If you do that, you are not getting what's being said here. God loves you. We love you. We need you. You need us. Well, I hadn't been doing right. You're picking on me. I'm not picking on anybody. I'm just preaching the word. Amen?
Amen.
You know, I have a couple rules there about sermons. I don't preach messages in light of problems that are going on. I don't do that. I don't let the devil choose my sermons for me. A lot of preachers will do that. Well, I'm going to straighten that out. Okay, well, you got your sermon from God or from the problem? That's the first rule. Second rule is this. I don't not preach a sermon that God has dealt with me about preaching because there's a problem. I'm going to back off that message. So either way, I mean, you just have to preach what the Lord tells you to preach and do it in love. And amen. And you have to receive it. You just have to get out there and come on. Come on, Bubba. Just receive it. Amen. We need it. Amen. I need this message. We need to be trans. Take the mask off. Not a Lone Ranger. What is your name? Come on. I want to know that guy's name. Does anybody know his name? I just know his horse's name. What kind of life is that? Silver and the Mask Man. And his partner, Tonto. We know him. Okay. Psalms 133. Let me wrap this up. Okay. Psalms 133, verse 1. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Man, there's nothing like it. I talk to pastors that sometimes are struggling. And of course, Brother Herb mentioned that sometimes churches are discouraged. I need to be encouraged. And of course, our church is up. We're excited. And, you know, we just got a great church. I just love it. I can't wait to get here. I just can't wait to get to church because I love this church. I love the worship. I love you. I don't know why, but I love you. I don't know why I love me. I do. And, you know, I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. We're working this thing out. There's a lot of times we've got to repent and correct each other and everything. But, you know, hey, we love each other. And it's just an awesome place to come, to hear God, to get in His presence, to get challenged, to get changed, to get charged. Hallelujah. It's an awesome thing. It really is. Church is a God thing. And there's times you may not feel like coming, you know, but you know, man, you know you get there if you open up now. Open up. Got to open up. Can't just sell up. You got to open up. You'll get something. It is beautiful how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Man, we're not bickering. We're not murmuring. We're not yeah-yaying. We're not cynical. We're really there because we want to hear from God. And we want to help people. We want to help each other. We want to grow. I want to get past all this stuff, this junk, this world, this broken, fallen world we live in. I mean, you get hit, you know, 24/7 with it. But there is hope in God. And there is a place of shelter. There is a place of peace. There's a place of strength and healing. That's what the church is about. It's a place we can get together, praise God, get our wounds healed up, get charged up, get stirred up, get fed up. Not fed up with the world, but fed up with the Word. Fed. Amen. Hallelujah. Get encouraged. See, it puts courage in you. Encouraged. Puts courage in you to go out there. You can do this. Amen. How good and pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like precious oil upon the heads. That's the anointing of God. See, unity brings the anointing. They were all one in one spirit, in one place, in one accord in the book of Acts. And suddenly, a sound from heaven was rushing mighty wind. Filled the house where they were sitting. They were clothed in tongues like as fire. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking tongues. The Spirit gave them utterance over in Acts second chapter, the first four verses. What happened? They got in unity. What happened? The oil came down. And the anointing comes. You know, the anointing comes on you getting together. It comes on you believing together and hooking up together. How good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard of Aaron, the priesthood, running down on the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon. That's freshness. Man, it puts spring in your step. His mercies are new every morning. Things are not boring and mundane. And here we go again. No, there's freshness. There's like the dew on the grass in the morning. Everything's sweet and smelling good. Where does that come from? It comes from being hooked up with people. It comes from dwelling together in unity. It comes from my brothers and sisters that I can call on. They call on me and we serve God together. It strengthens me. Keeps me fresh. Don't like to work out by myself. Somebody comes along and helps me, got a partner, we work out. Are you with me? Pull me out of my shell, that's good. That's a good thing. Well, oil comes, the anointing of the Holy Ghost, and freshness. And then it says, it is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion, the church, that's us. For there the Lord commanded the blessing and life forevermore. Amen. There where? Where people are getting together. When the brethren are in unity. There God commands the blessing. There. Where? When we get hooked up. When we find out we're not the whole picture. When we find out we're not the whole story. See, I think the first thing you need to get over when you get saved is yourself. Now, you got to be yourself. I understand that. Because everybody else has already taken. But you got to get over yourself, too. Everybody got over you a long time ago. You need to get over yourself. But then you need to get hooked up. Get hooked up. Then the anointing will come. Then the freshness will come. And there, God will command the blessing. You know why we're so blessed? Because we're here. Because we came. You know, we had a men's breakfast yesterday. They had a good crowd. I love the men's breakfast. I love get the men together. I think it's awesome. And they get together. There's just a special anointing there. There's a special. It's a special time that we couldn't reproduce that by ourselves. But together, man, it's awesome. Amen. Just awesome. We had a young adult fellowship. We saw the Rough Riders in a minor league in Frisco, minor league baseball team, and a bunch of us went over there. And I don't know why they let Mike go because he's too old. But anyway, Bert and I went because, you know, we're young. Oh, yeah, Mike, he's older than I am. He's a lot older than I am. But anyway, it was all you can eat, so that's why he came. But anyway, there was just something about getting together, you know. There's a strength that comes from getting together. It's a strength that comes from Christian fellowship. You need other people. You need us. We need you.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So we can do it, and we're not lone rangers. Don't get separated from the herd. Let's stay in the herd. There's protection, there's strength, there's growth, there's maturity. The best is yet to come.
Amen. Amen.